Love is the ultimate force. I guess that scripture is the foundational scripture of what love is. If you don't know Jesus today, he came and died that you can live. So listen on, listen more about who Jesus is, what God's love is. But fundamentally, for God so loved us, God is love. Jesus is love. Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love another. A new commandment I give you, that you, speaking to the believers at the time, love another as I have loved you, that you also love another. Notice this is a command. It's not an optional extra. As believers, we need to love as Jesus loved us, as the Father loves us. Again, these are foundational scriptures to bring your mind to a place where the Holy Spirit can speak to us. So you're not going, oh, what's for dinner? What's for this? It's a place to bring your mind to focus on the Word of God. The Apostle John, who was called the Apostle of Love, wrote in 1 John 4:7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who is born of God, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And it said in verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. So the Apostle John built on what Jesus said. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to build on the revelation that somebody else gives us. You don't just stay where you are. You stretch to what God is saying. God is infinite. So it's a case of building on that love. So John took what Jesus gave him. A new commandment I give you, that you love another. As I have loved you, that you also love another. And built on that revelation over time. And he wrote, 1 John, it was an old chap, wasn't a young boy. He'd been through some things. And he built on that revelation. And today, God wants us to look at love in a different way. I'm sure if I asked the question, you could rock off a few scriptures about love and go, there you go, I'm arrived and everything. Guess what? We don't know everything. We have a revelation of where we are. But God wants to stretch us today to take a greater revelation of what love is to us personally and to us as a body. We never arrive, we just develop. That's how it is in reality. If that's a revelation to you, hello. But that's the truth of the matter. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Love is the ultimate force. Love can break the bond of fear. That's a fact. That's the truth, actually. So these are some foundational scriptures which talk about how God loves us, which talks about God is love, which talks about what we should do. We should love one another. So let's move on to the first point, which is God's love never fails. God's love never fails. Whatever circumstance, whatever situation we come across in life, as a believer, God's love never fails. The Bible talks about the under reaching arms of God. I remember being given a little card years ago. The footprints thing. The thing, I shouldn't say thing. The footprints poem, whatever. And it said, showed a picture of the footprints on the sand, isn't it? And then it said, why was only one foot set of footprints on that poem? That's when I carried you. So, the underreaching arms of God, in the hard times, his love carries us. His love carries us. His love never fails. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But God's love never, ever fails. Wherever you are today, whatever circumstance you're in, whatever circumstance you've come through, God's love never fails. That's the first point. The second point is God's love works from the inside out. God's love works from the inside out. It's not an external force for the believer. God is in us and he works through us. We are God's agent. John 14, 16 to 17, the Amplified Bible says, Jesus speaking, I'll ask the Father, and I give another comforter, counsellor, helper, intercessor, advocate, standby, strengthener, friend, that he may remain with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him and recognise him. But you know him and recognise him. For he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Or the King James says, he lives in you, he lives with you and he will be in you. Holy Spirit lives with us and he's in us. God himself lives in us and with us through the Holy Spirit. You know, I remember somebody saying to me some time ago, oh yeah, we've got to love people. We've got to love people. And I said, no, God's got to love people through us. We might have to make the first step, but it's the release of God's love through us that makes a difference. We've got to love the unlovable. But we have to try to do something in our own strength, which is what the person was talking about. About surrendering to the Holy Spirit and letting God's love, which is deposited in our hearts, flow into people's lives. Remember, it's not the work of a man. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. It's not about us. We're all different shapes, sizes, because that's what people are like, isn't it? But it's the same Spirit of God that dwells in me, that dwells in you, if you know him. God wants us to release that love. Be in a position where we walk in the love of God. So we touch people's lives around us. One word from God, from us, can change somebody's life forever. One smile, one kindness. And God wants us to release that ultimate force in our daily lives.
Yeah.
God wants to take a different perspective about what love is. You know, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I did things as a child. I'm no longer a child. I've grown up. It's about connecting with God in a mature way, And it's about walking in that ultimate force, releasing that ultimate force into people's lives around us. It's in that Sunday school where we learn the principles. It's about walking in the fullness of God, releasing that ultimate force, the force of love. Which means we need to touch on forgiveness. Because to walk in that ultimate love, we need to walk in forgiveness. If somebody says something or somebody cuts you up, that's tough, isn't it? Well, it's tough for me, it happens to me. You've got to get over it, you've got to deal with it. You've got to surrender it, you've got to forgive, you've got to move on. But so we're working that, within that position of forgiveness, and that love flows. Luke 7:11-16 says, "But the fruit, the work, which depends on how the Spirit accompanies us." That's not the right scripture. Got it wrong way around. That's John. That's Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence accomplishes within us, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness." The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within us accomplishes, the work which His presence within us accomplishes, is love. It's the first fruit of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's presence which accomplishes something in our lives. We are an empty vessel. The Bible talks about us being a clay pot where the treasure is inside, in these earthen vessels. We're just flesh and bone. It's only God's Spirit that makes a difference. But notice, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. He brings God's love into our lives. We've got to learn to walk in that love. Ephesians 3 is quite a mega scripture. Got time to talk about it all today, this morning. It's Paul talking to the church in Ephesus about how love and the body of Christ should work together, and the revelation of God's love that the individual gets and that the body gets. In essence, I need you. And you need me to get a full revelation of the love of God. So the Amplified Version says, at Ephesians 3:17-19, "May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love, and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ or the anointed, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being to all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself." You start thinking about, when you read that scripture and start meditating that scripture, there's a lot in that scripture which I haven't got time to talk about this morning. But the root is that God wants to get over, that it's together walking in love that we get a greater revelation of His love. It's together as we press in that we have a greater understanding of the breadth and length and depth of it. there's so much division in the church over this way and that way, over things which, particularly if some things might not really matter, some things do, but it might not matter. He wants us to be united. What's that scripture? Psalm 133, is it?
Yeah.
What is it? How blessed.
It is for the brethren to dwell together.
In unity.
In unity. How good and pleasant.
Thank you. Yeah. That's where God wants us to be. Because when we do that, that's where the love of God flows. He's bigger than you, and he's bigger than me. We have an understanding of where we are, but there's a corporate understanding, there's a corporate release of God's love that he wants to see in the body. This body here, but the wider body. And we have a part. I've got time to go on that for this morning. That's something we can pick up later. May you have the richest measure of divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with love himself. May you have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with love himself. Because God is love. So that's a stretch for us, isn't it? How do we get from where we are to that scripture, where we're flooded with God? The God love floods this place. The people there don't want to come in here because God's love floods this place. We all have a God-shaped hole. Believe it or not. People are always searching for something. They're filled with many things. But we're designed to have a relationship with God. We're designed to have a relationship with love. That ultimate force. When we have an encounter with God, or the ultimate force, love, everything changes. Everything changes. When you have an encounter with Jesus, your life is never the same again. Excuse me. John 8. 1 to 10 in the Amplified Version says this. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning at dawn. When he came back into the temple court, people came to him in crowds. He sat down and was teaching them. When the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, they made her stand in the middle of the court and put the case before him. Teacher, they said, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Now Moses' law commanded us that such women offenders shall be stoned to death. But what do you say to do with her? What is your sentence? And we won't go into the detail of Deuteronomy 22 right now, but just talking about this picture here. Jesus preaching and he's teaching, and they just rock up with this lady. Not the man, funny enough, just the lady. The scripture continues. This they set to try and test him, hoping they might find a charge on which to accuse him. But Jesus, stooping down, wrote on the ground with his finger. However, when they persisted with their questions, he raised himself up and said, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And he bent down and went on writing on the ground with his finger. They listened to him, and then they began going out, conscience-stricken, one by one, from the oldest to the last one among them, till Jesus was left alone with the woman, standing before him, in the centre of the court. When Jesus raised himself up, he said to her, woman, Where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. I said, go and sin no more. Off you go. When we encounter with Jesus, his love spoke into that situation. Jesus didn't answer immediately. He took time to listen to the Holy Spirit and got up when he got a revelation of what to say. And he made the statement. God's love convicted those people. And from the oldest to the youngest, they left. Yes, that was wrong. The lady did. But we need to see things from God's perspective. And operate in the revelation of God's love. I believe Jesus didn't know what to say at the right at that time. He took time to listen to the Holy Spirit and then time to respond. I think we need to do likewise. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Sometimes we don't have the answer straight away. Sometimes we need to take time to listen and give God's answer. Give love's answer. Love that day changed that lady's life. Not recorded what happened to her, but we know she didn't get stoned. Wherever Jesus went, wherever Jesus did, wherever love went, wherever love did, people's lives were impacted, people's lives were changed. Luke 7:11-16 says in the Amplified Version. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to the town called Nain, and his disciples and a great throng accompanied him. Just as he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and a large gathering from the town was accompanying her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. And he went forward and touched the funeral pyre, and the pallbearers stood still. And he said to the young man, I say to you, arise from death. And the man who was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Profound and reverent fear seized them all. And they began to recognize God and praise and give thanks, saying, a great prophet has appeared among us, and God has visited his people in order to help and care and provide for them. Notice Jesus in the scripture had compassion on that situation. In other words, love manifested himself in compassion, the ultimate force, and God turned that situation around. Do you know the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and me? Romans 8:11. What Jesus did, we're called to do and greater things. We have the same spirit that Jesus had. Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, cleanse a leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So we have received God's love freely into our hearts, the ultimate force. It's time to walk in the Spirit and freely give what God has given us. Listen to the Holy Spirit and give what he asks us to give. An expression of God's love through our life may take many forms. It's not our responsibility to decide what form that takes. It's our responsibility to listen to what the Holy Spirit says and release what God has through our spirits into the people's lives around us. Like I said before, one word from God can change somebody's life forever. The lady at the mountain, the lady at the temple court, the man who was dead in the funeral pyre, their lives were changed by Jesus. Like I said before, the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us. We are his hands, we are his feet. We are the hands and feet of the ultimate force. We're the hands and feet of love. We live in a world which, quite frankly, is a bit of a mess. People need to receive his love. We are his agents of that love. It's about positioning ourselves with the Holy Spirit to make those right choices, to be in the right place at the right time. Not do things that are flaky, but falling in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not flaky. He does it his way, and we've got to make sure we align with him. So next time God nudges you, or elbows you, whatever you want to say, or speaks to you, follow in the Holy Spirit. God's love changes everything. So last point is God's love is eternal. God's love is eternal. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Or for I am love, I do not change. People are fickle. Might love you 1 minute and then put the boot in the next minute. God's not like that. God is consistent. And he wants us to be consistent. Inconsistency is where we see the manifestation of the person and presence of God. We live a consistent life. Some Christians live a life which is what I call the rollercoaster life, where 1 minute they're here, then 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 they're here. God wants us to live a consistent life. There are always ups and downs in life, but we speak to the mountain. We don't climb it and go down it and climb it and go down it. We speak to the mountain. We walk in faith. That's a maturity thing. And God wants us to be consistent and not change in our love walk. The scripture which I guess reflects that in the New Testament is Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today and forever. Mm-hmm. Love the same yesterday, today and forever. John 4:7-8 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We know God. We know God. If you're born of the Spirit, you know God. So we're asked to love one another through the Holy Spirit. He who does not love does not know God. So where are we today on our journey? Where are we today in our relationship with God? Where are we today with walking in that love, that ultimate force? Let's bring it down to just ourselves in the room and ourselves online, ourselves listening later. Where are we today? If we just reflect for a couple of minutes where we are? Are we truly walking the way, the way that God wants us to walk? Do we need to make some changes in the way we are, the way we do things? Do we need to align ourselves with what the Lord is saying to us? You know, I'm just a bloke giving you a word. If God's speaking to you, that isn't me. That's him. Where are we? I think it's time just to take some time over the next few days just to reflect on what God's saying to us about our love walk. Mm. You might go, that's good, well good. I might say we need to make an adjustment here, we need to make an adjustment there. You know, we've got to be constantly up in our game. We've got to be constantly surrendering, listening to the Holy Spirit. We are a work in progress. So we know we've got certain things have to change in our lives to make us more like him. It's not a bad thing to ask that question. You know, it's not like, oh dear, what have I done wrong? That's not the approach. The approach is, what needs to change for the better? We are his hands and we're his feet. We need to be effective witnesses. We need to be effective conduits of that love, that ultimate force. So I think it's an important question to ask ourselves. And the next question would be, why are we as a body? We'll look at Ephesians 3. It talks about walking in unity, talk about the manifestation of God's love. Where are we as a body? What do we need to do differently? You see, I can be impacted with the love of God. I haven't got the answer, but it's a question we need to consider. Yeah. So let's wrap us up and pray, and I think I'm done. Lord, your love never fails. Your love works from the inside out. Your love changes everything. Your love is eternal. Please take the words that I've said, Lord, the scriptures, and through the Holy Spirit, touch people's lives on the recording, in the listening now online, the people in this room, Lord, in Jesus' name. Please help us understand where we are, where you want us to be. We'd have to stretch to that next place in our lives where we can be conduits of that ultimate force, which is love. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.